you'll find when you get ready to travel, I get all morose and goofy and all this kind of stuff. But in all seriousness, I made up my mind on this long ago. I don't have many things that I'd ever want at my funeral, and some of you young people remember this. Hopefully, it'll be a long time from now. But that song there, I would like that song.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? There's a man in South Carolina by the name of Blake Lindsay, who one time was very dear to me, and just the things of life separate people or whatever else. If he's still alive, bring him and make him sing that, and then sing it as a congregation. And hopefully all the youngest people here will remember that.
So, here we are again. And again, I didn't ask for this, but we're going to recap quickly on the 4 points we did last week. The first one was prayer. And I didn't feel that I got to really... I had to rush through a lot of things, and that's nobody's fault. It's just each one of these could be their own sermon. But prayer was first and foremost, and again, I want to say, I gave our testimony, Ashley and I. The thing I did leave out was I was praying for a mate, she was praying for me. First priority, got to be praying for your mate. Number two, be peculiar, be a balo. We talked about the balos walking across that yard every week. I see Dustin's got shoes on today, so there's progress.
Always moving forward.
Be peculiar. Let people see your Christianity, your salvation. Be patient was number three. Wait for the God's timing. Don't try to rush things. Number four was purity. And before we go any farther, the first two times I've been up here, I never opened a prayer. So, seeing how point number one was pray, I probably ought to open a prayer. So, Lord, we just thank you for the time being here. We just thank you that you would that you love us. And I just pray that you would help us as we go through this lesson. Just give us insight. Just help us to love you, learn from you, and then grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I do appreciate there's no plants up here this week. I was, again, so nervous I didn't even notice there was a plant here until Pastor told me. But I want to go back to my last point because that was by far my best and probably ever will be my best point. But we had two hearts and we talked about purity, how each this is the gift you have to give to your mate on your wedding night. Then we talked about how this heart had problems, inappropriate material online. Making it to third base, lusting after unclean things, incest or homosexuality, premarital relations. And then we talked about how that's what we have to give to our mate. And I just want that to sink home to you that are single. Purity is the only gift you can give to your mate on your wedding night, okay? Obviously, I said last week, to my shame, I didn't. I will remember for the rest of my life that point. We also touched last week on Pastor Appreciation Week. This also isn't for you. If I could have Dustin come up here, be very careful with this so it doesn't spill. And I want you to shake that as hard as you can. And then I'll have you put it right back there, okay? That'll be good. Thank you, sir. So number five is going to be protect your heart. And you can be turned into Ephesians 6, 10 through 15. Ephesians 6. We ended up with the object lesson of two hearts on the wedding night. Now we're going to cover how to protect your heart. Ephesians 6, 10 through 15. And again, this is not going to be rocket science. These are all verses we've heard before. Excuse me. Maybe we can look at them a little different way. If everybody's there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whereof take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet, I'm going to throw 15 in here, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One place I looked up, shod meant fitted. make sure that your shoes are fitted. If that's wrong, I'm sorry. But to me, that shows, my one point last week was to run. So if you feel that pressure coming on, that something is going to happen, we talked about red flags, make sure your shoes are shod, that you got them tight to your feet so that you can run when that point comes, okay? So the armor of God doesn't only pertain to spiritual warfare, it also is there to protect damage that could occur. If you're not reading your Bible, going to church faithfully, praying, you're not going to know how to protect your heart. You're not even going to know what fiery darts look like. You're not going to go to realize the damage that has already been done. Don't be scared, I have 8 pages, but it's all large type so I can read it. So, Pastor asked me to do this message on where to find your Christian mate. Obvious answer to me is church. That's where I found my mate. That's where you're supposed to be learning about finding a mate. Another thing I'm going to throw in there is a good, and I stress that word, college, Bible college. Not saying that's why you go to college, but if you're surrounded with people of a like faith, of a like thoughts, that would be another good place.
Yep.
But that's not all. It needs to be the right time and the right place. Be surrounded by like people. Watch and see the difference in people, that they truly love the Lord God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. I talked about this before in the legacy one, that when I was dating my wife, we sat down and talked about how to raise kids, if we're going to tithe, what main functions we thought we needed, and where we were going to stand strong at. If in those communications things aren't lining up, make sure your shoes are on and run.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If one believes in sprinkling, one believes in baptism, it's never going to mix.
That's right.
You're gonna confuse your family, okay? So you need to figure those things out. You might say there isn't anyone here. We'll just use Black Creek because it's a small church. There's nobody here to date. Go back to step number 3, patient. If you are seeking for God's will in the mate, you'll run into that person. I won't say this lady's name because I did not talk to her, and I will not say her name. Do you all know her father is a pastor at Anchor Baptist Church? Gentlemen, that's the girl you should be looking for, that type of a girl. She loves the Lord. She has respect for her parents.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying you all beat feet for Wellsville, young men to stand in line, but that's what you should be looking for. Girls, the same thing. You should be looking for a man that is settled, loves the Lord's God, and then how he treats people.
Yes.
I came back to the Lord in 99, December of 99, and it wasn't until three years later that Ashley knew it was time to leave a denomination she was raised in and she was looking for a proper church. It's not going to be immediate. Again, go back to patient. Just trust that God's working out the details for you as he did for us. And I never would have imagined working out the way it did. Marrying somebody that's 12 years younger than me. People will say it's just a number. Sometimes it becomes more of a number when I say, you remember the show Dukes of Hazzard, and she says, what? It will come up. There will be problems. But no matter how long it takes, you need to be protecting your heart. How can you do that, you might ask? Well, luckily for you, I am full of object lessons today, and that's about all I have. But I need a volunteer, so if I get Zane to come up here. Ivy, come right up. I think probably this would be the best spot. Hold that right in front of your heart, your actual heart. I'm going to step right over here. We talked about the fiery darts of the Lord. That's a fiery dart. So, don't worry, Jody, this isn't going to hurt me a bit. This, oftentimes, is what we have protecting our heart. It's not going to take much to pop through that, is it?
No.
Stay right there, Zane. I'll switch with you.
Good.
That's real good.
The breastplate of righteousness.
Oh, that's good.
Stop. Stop the darts. Thanks, sir.
Jody just sighed a relief, but.
Yeah. So point number six is going to be pollute. Remember, we remembered they were all the points were going to be p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p-p- fine in New York State for littering is up to $350 for first conviction, $700 for repeat offense. You can easily get fines for littering. So why do we do it to ourselves? We litter our hearts with premarital relations with anyone. Now this goes back, before my wife's time again, back in the early 90s, I heard a statistic about 20 years ago, back when AIDS was coming to the forefront, that every time you have a relationship with another person and you are both not pure, that's why pure is such a key point with me, you think it's one-on-one. You are bringing in anybody and everybody that they've been impure with. So it can, back in this point in day, it was six other people that you were having a relationship with. Let's fast forward 27 years. Where are we at now? Young people, don't give up your purity. God designed it so you would have no chance of getting STDs and AIDS. And if you're young and you didn't understand these, ask your parents later because I don't want to explain it. God created one man, one woman, pure forever. But we have made it no different than taking out the trash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sir.
Ooh. That's good, brother.
We have lost the vision that God had in store for us. We have become too comfortable, excuse me, to pay the fines. I got off last time. I'll throw it out the window again. It doesn't matter. You gotta get uncomfortable paying the fines. In today's day and age, we need to discuss the topic of homosexuality. So let's turn to Leviticus 18, Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 18. And I really don't want to talk about this topic. I brought it up to Pastor. I was hoping he would take care of it, but... Leviticus 18, verse 22, and then we're going to jump also to the New Testament to show you that it wasn't only in the Old Testament, it's also in the New Testament. Leviticus 18, verses 22 and 23, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. If I have to explain it, that means don't lie with man, okay? It is become rampant. The whole idea, the whole talk, our government allowing it. We'll go to Romans. The Old Testament talks about it. You're not supposed to do it. Let's jump to Romans. While I'm looking this up, can I get Dustin? Can I get you to come up and shake that as hard as you can? Stir it up as much as you can for me, okay? Romans 1, 26 through 32. That's good. Thank you, sir. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. natural use into what that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, sorry if I murdered that, unmerciful. We knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them. So we've seen in the Old Testament, God didn't agree with it back then. We've looked in the Old Testament, he still hasn't changed his mind. God does not condone it. It is sin. It will always be sin. Now here's the huge lie that the gay movement will tell you. God is love. He wants us to be happy. And it doesn't matter as long as you have love. Lies. Lies, lies, lies.
Amen.
But God said it was an abomination then, and it is now. The definition of abomination, a thing that causes disgust or hatred. So, I don't know if I'm off base on this, but they say it's all about love. God says it's an abomination, it's hatred. And it, to me, and if anybody's here that is a homosexual, I'm not trying to kill you with this. The way I view it is God hated it. And if you're in that lifestyle, you're hating yourself. You're not loving the person God created you to be. On a side note, just because you might not be with someone right now, don't let others push you into the sin of the gay movement.
That's right.
It's okay to be single. Remember, be patient, be peculiar. Right. Back to the first few points. 1 Corinthians 6:18 through 20 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." I don't think you're glorifying your body and I'm not just going to blame homosexuality, if you're having premarital sex and you're not staying pure, you're not loving your body. You're not loving the body Holy Spirit gave you. You may say that your love, and I'll pull a Mr. McVeigh on this. This is the only time you'll probably ever hear me get loud in the pulpit. You may say that your love can get you through. Wrong! Oh, but he makes me feel special. Wrong! But he cares for me like no other. It's wrong. All men become, and listen to me, women, please listen to me, girls. All men become car salesmen at some point and will say anything to close the deal.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's right.
It doesn't, majority of them don't care about you, okay?
Right.
They care about themselves. Now, I started thinking about, one day I heard a car alarm going off. And when car alarms first came out, it went off, everybody looked around, everybody was looking, should we call 911, what's going on? Today you hear a car alarm go off and you just keep on walking.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good.
We've become so used to not listening to the warning signs.
That's good.
So you need to put a car alarm on your heart.
Yes.
Your car alarm will even have a panic button. Hit it in a panic. People will pay attention. People ain't paying attention anymore. Put that car alarm on your heart. You start hearing that alarm go off, start looking at what's wrong. What's going on that you got to change? You got to get away from it. So by now you've all seen the bottle. I'm going to have Randy come up and shake that one more time if you can. Shake it as hard as you can. Make sure the top doesn't come off because we don't want a big spill. In this bottle, There's two different things, as you've obviously seen. There is oil and there is water. The oil is an unsaved person. The water is a Christian. Now, as you can see, it's already starting to separate. It's already starting to do what it's supposed to do. Oil and water don't mix. If you watch, no matter what the circumstances of the bottle, the oil will always rise to the top. And the water, or the saved, gets forced to the bottom. It doesn't matter which position it's in, it's still going to separate the set exact same way. The water, or the saved, gets forced to the bottom. They will never be able to rise to the level that God had for them.
That's good, brother.
In life, this is kind of switching gears. We'll get back to the bottle. In life, there is no missionary dating. That's a key phrase thrown out there, and if you don't understand what that means, go back to, you might say that your love can get us through. That's missionary dating. If they don't know, if you're a Christian and you can't say that about the other person, these three of these phrases all fit in there. Oh, but he makes me feel special. But he cares for me like no other. As Brother McVeigh would say, Bron! You cannot be in a relationship with somebody that doesn't have the same fundamental belief as God. Mm-hmm. You can't have it. So missionary dating is, I will bring that person to church. I will win them to the Lord. They will be that special person. The odds of being able to get them saved after you get married is very much against you.
That's right.
It doesn't make it impossible for God to do. But if you are single and can avoid traveling down that path, please do. Think over the 7 P paths and to trust the Almighty Father with your life. Point number 7 is pull together. Become one. So if we can turn to 2 Corinthians 6:14, and I think pretty much most people know where we're going. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, I have a little title above it in my Bible. It says, be separate from unbelievers. If you are in a relationship that is unequally yoked, and you love the Lord your God, you say you love the Lord your God all your heart, you need to end it. There's no missionary dating. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, I think we all understand what being unequally yoked is. You got 2 ox, they put a yoke on their shoulders. One reason was to train up a younger one. If you had a younger on fire ox, you put him with an older mature one that would slow him down so that you got through the work that was ahead of you. But you needed to be they had to work together. That's the whole point of being yoked together, so if you were unequally yoked, you're not going to work together. You're not going to pull together. I can picture what this verse says, but haven't seen yoked animals very much in my lifetime. Okay? So, just like I'll use Noah's Ark, I can read cubits by cubits by cubits. It means nothing to me. We went to the Noah's Ark exhibit in Kentucky. I know what it means now. I know what that many cubits by that many cubits means that big thing sitting in the yard, okay? But it's in my mind, and that's why I do object lessons, because I'm a simple man. It's hard for me to focus on, again, I haven't seen a whole lot of animals hooked together. You guys see a lot more because you're out here with the Amish. But that doesn't mean as much to me. By now, it's got to be bugging you about the bottle, so let's go back to the bottle. This is water and oil, like 2 Corinthians 6:14 says about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The water is the saved one in the relationship. The oil is the unsaved one in the relationship. Why is being equally yoked important? We've all heard you can't be unequally yoked because of how we as believers view things and how the world often view things are the total opposite. And it's even went as far as don't be unequally yoked in business, which is also very smart sense. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this object lesson will help you visualize what it means to be separate from the world, to not be yoked to the world. It helped me. As you shake this over and over the bottle, the oil will always go to the top and the water to the bottom. They separate, they cannot mix. I'm sure it's already happened, okay? It's already went back to the way they came into the bottle, or they're back to their natural use. This is the same with being saved and unsaved in marriage. And for those of you that are already married, this message still is for all of us. Even if your marriage is unequally yoked, marriage is an unequally yoked marriage, I challenge you to go back to point number one, pray. Pray for your mate, saved or unsaved. You can still, again, pray for your mate all the time. But if they're unsaved, pray for this point.
That's right.
Be peculiar. Let them see Christ through you. Let them see you love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. We touched on that in Matthew 22. Be patient. Be patient with your spouse and with God that he will be able to answer your prayers, that your mate will come to know the Lord. Pure. Stay pure in your marriage. Even though if I think a high percentage of unyoked marriages are unbelievers, the man, and I'm just judging by this, usually the woman is more in love with God. I guess I want to say it. You still have to stay pure in your marriage. You still have to honor your husband. If you are a lady that's in a marriage that's unequally yoked, you still have to pray for him. You still have to be patient with him. You still have to be pure in your relationship. You need to protect your heart by reading your Bible and putting your armor on every day. Again, that passage is used from A to Z. We could use that passage of protect by putting on the whole armor of God. And a lot of times we gloss over the fact. We leave the house, we didn't care about the armor of God. We're worrying about, I got to do this at work, I got to do this. You have to start by putting on the whole armor of God to protect your heart, to protect your mind, your soul, so that you can fight the battle when it comes at you. Don't pollute your relationship by living for the world as your mate might be. And pull together. Have faith that one day you'll be able to be equally yoked. You need to do your part despite the pressure that may be pushing you down as the oil does the water. And this is what you've been waiting for, closing remarks. I said at the beginning of this lesson, find the right one. That was kind of the heading that the pastor gave me. And I asked that question, are you on the path of finding the right one? If you are married, are you doing your best to stay the right one?
Amen.
I don't like that question because it reminds me a lot of times I fail. Again, it goes back to the used car salesman. We promise that. I can say I promised my wife the world, and I've given her a little small town in Pennsylvania. Meaning, a lot of the stuff I promised her I haven't done.
Yes, sir.
I don't like that point. Mm-hmm. But if you are married, do your best to stay the right one. I want to close with this question for those that will be or are looking for the right one. Again, I said at the beginning, find the right one. The ending question is, are you the right one? Are you doing God's will and becoming the man or woman that God wants you to be? That's a small statement. There's a lot of truth behind it. Again, we talked about being happy. Loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind was number one. Number two was loving yourself. And I said last week, if you don't love yourself, don't involve somebody else in a relationship.
That's right.
You're just going to pull all of you down. You have to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind.
Right. Good.
Love yourself and find that mate that loves the Lord the God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And again, ladies, if you need somebody to look at, Look at your godly women in the church and model yourself after them. Men, do the same. Surround yourself with godly men. They're going to teach you how to do it. Okay? That's it for me. We'll have a word of prayer and close. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the opportunity to be in my uncomfortable zone again. And I just pray that you would take these words, and I pray that if I said anything on my own, that you would strike it and get it out of people's minds and hearts. But if there be anything that you had for them, that, Lord, you would open their eyes and their hearts and their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sir, you did what I asked you to do. God bless. Amen. I believe the Lord asked you, or the Lord did what you asked him to do. Now, in lieu of a song, I'm going to say a few things here. One, I want to deal with this. There is nothing more absurd than this thought. Imagine two fellows who become friends and get close to each other in high school, and one of them goes off to the army or whatever, and these two never have sexual contact or anything of that sort. They're both pure, whatever, and the one goes off to the army and maybe he's gone for 3 years. The other one goes to college. So then they come back together, and neither one, ever been sexually involved, comes together at the altar to marry each other. You'll never see that. You'll never see it. Homosexuality is a wound.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It is not a natural occurrence of nature. It is a wound. There may be some people out there. Some are born eunuchs, Jesus Christ said. And I can see where a man like that, pressured in our society or whatever else, might be different. I can see that. Fornication won't make it feel better. Okay? But when you find a man that's a homosexual, almost always he's been abused by men when he was young, as a child. Almost always. You know, liberals like to talk about book burning. I have a book in there they burn.
Let me show it to you. You can't get this book alive. You know what it's called?
It's called Elfie's Home. I've given it to a couple of families to read. It's written by a Jewish group for young men that have been abused when they were young. Why they thought they were going homosexual. Okay? You won't find that in a public library because liberals will burn it.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Because that's how homosexuals reproduce.
That's right.
Okay? That's how they reproduce. They sodomize the young. And then the young get perverted and twisted. It's a little bit different with women. Most women who go and step across that line, it's because they've been so abused by men. Okay? Some are 14, 15 years old, sometimes involuntarily, sometimes younger than that. Some man took their virginity, and by the time they're 17, 18, or whatever else, they've had so many sexual partners, there's no joy in sex, there's no anything in it anymore. They're just a piece of meat to be thrown on the ground and abused and such. And that's a grievous thing, okay? And often they will begin to turn to other women because they're the only ones who will show each other affection and such. And when I see women like that, I don't hate them. I love them. My heart breaks for them, for whatever went on in their life that should have gone on. By the grace of God, we've had some people in this church where the Apostle Paul says, and such were some of you.
That's right.
Such were. But now you're washed. Now you're cleansed. Now you're justified. Okay? Now, couple things. Number one, it won't surprise me, Neil, if there'll be some gleanings the Lord gives you. Okay? When that happens, tell myself or Pastor Hain, and when you're ready for those gleanings. That's not an assignment, that's just a reality that will come up. Okay? And when you're ready for those gleanings and they need to come out, just let us know. Okay? We'll set that up for that to happen. Now the next thing is this. I loved what he said about missionary dating. The idea, well, I'll marry so-and-so and then he'll get right. No, that doesn't happen. Okay? It won't happen at all. Now, Miss Tiffany, I'll tell you this. I told Bryson to be a pastor to you. Okay? What does that mean? It means he's to guide you in your schooling, your spiritual walk and such. But if his tongue ever touches your lips and you don't have the same last name, he's violated that. He doesn't love you. Okay? He doesn't. He's just out for himself and nothing else. Okay? That's all there is to it. You say, well, that's kind of bold putting it plain. Well, you have to.
Yes, sir.
All right? You kind of hint and draw and everything else, and people miss it when it's over and such. And the other thing I want to make is this. I love the fact that when Neil taught this, he did not use the word virginity. He used the word purity. Part of the reason I say that is so many people today lost their virginity involuntarily when they were far too young to ever make that decision, okay? It was stolen from them. It was robbed from them. Or at a time in your life when you didn't know any better and those things happened. You'll never get virginity back, but you can get purity back.
That's good.
Amen. Okay? That can come back. And it comes back in your life. It comes by treating your body right. It comes by what you absorb your life with and put it out there and such. And you're better off. If there's some woman, you'd be amazed how many pastor's kids are this way. You ask McVeigh what it's like to leave a church and all the girls were singing and pretty in their gowns and that, and leaving the church when he was a single man, and they would send him pictures of themselves topless, pastor's daughters, that kind of thing. And make themselves available, letting him know and such. When my family went through, we went through, and we would visit different churches around the South and then the North and such. And my kids would go in the back, you know, it's time for all the kids to go play and such. And my daughter would have to tell the kids, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm really like this. I wasn't pretending in front of the adults. Because all the iPods had come out, the music and everything, all right, the adults are gone. And these are some of the finest churches, okay? And these little Christian schools are nothing but hothouses for that. And where everybody's learned to pretend. Why? Because their parents are all pretending.
That's right.
And they just learn that kind of thing such. So the thing is, it is so important. If you lost your purity, that can come back. You can have it, okay? Tiffany and Kyle Bills, been married 3 times. You know what? I believe the last time.
Amen. Good. Okay. Yes,
I believe that marriage can be as pure as any marriage.
Amen.
I believe it can be as whole. The Lord says marriage is honorable in some. All. Okay? Absolutely all. Jennifer Balo brought a baby to Bob Balo. You know what he did? He gave that baby his name.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. Took that baby and threw his... threw his cloak over her and raised them all together and such, and they sit there and you say, well, I disagree with a lot of things he does. Well, he disagrees with a lot of things you do. Okay? The difference is he's a man and he's going to continue doing things the way he wants to do it, and God will clean it up if God wants it cleaned up.
That's right.
Okay? I'll tell you this. I've watched kids raised too strict. I've watched kids raised too lenient, and I'd rather have the too strict. I don't like either, but if I had to choose, that's the one I'd choose. Right? Mm-hmm. So the point is that look for purity. Your best. You might be a woman that your name is written on every bathroom stall from here to San Francisco, and you get up with Jesus Christ and begin to walk clean. God will make you as pure as can be, and you will be a better wife to a man than one of these little fraud Christian girls who's been hankering. That's why it says in the Word of God, and you have bruised the teats of your virginity. Virgin, but so defiled, pity the poor man that marries you. Pity the poor man that gets a hold of you. Technically a virgin, and so defiled. A man would be better off to have somebody that's known everybody in the Russian army and surrendered to Jesus Christ. An absolutely pure and clean in Jesus Christ. Be best if it could be both. Pure and virgin. That'd be the best. And if I raise my boys, I hope they're man enough. Man enough to keep their virginity. Man enough. Where people don't pressure you and get you into all that kind of stuff. It takes a man to do that. Okay? All right. We've gone a long time. Pastor, I want you to stand and close us in prayer. Or if you have anything to say, that's fine. You know that.
Father in heaven. Your Spirit has taught us